glad to be here. I'm glad he's all I need. Appreciate that. Genesis tonight, if you have your Bibles. Genesis 37. We're going to take some scriptures here. I had jotted something down a couple of weeks ago, and had never really gotten back to it, just a thought run by it and our mind. Wasn't sure what scriptures the Lord would allow us to tie with it, but we're in Genesis 37 tonight. You got your Bibles. Just a few verses. Start verse 1. Says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And you can be seated tonight. The thought that we had, quite honestly, tonight was out of verse 3, where the Bible writes that Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was a son of his old age. And I thought this evening, as we look at that portion of Scripture, we can think about Jacob and his life. And we all go back and you can read in the Scripture about his life and the things that he went through. And we find that when he began to have his sons, Scripture tells us that he had Joseph was the one he loved the most. Because he was son in his old age. And I thought that with that scripture, the thought that we had was the benefits of being a child of God. Just the benefits of being a child. And you can go through life, and we know today that in this world, our parents are, you know, none of us have the same upbringing. On the natural side, we can look at those. Some of us, you can look and say, well, they have it better than I do. And we can look at others and say they have it worse than I did. But when it's all said and done, I'm glad that that none of that really matters. What matters is where we stand with God. And I will say this, that there are benefits of being a child of God tonight. And as we start looking at and thinking about some of the benefits of being God's child, tonight, we can go in a lot of different directions here, but we find that Joseph here, if we look at his life real quick, we know the Bible says that his brothers hated him because of that. They were older than he was, and Joseph was loved by his father, and we know that he went through some things, and they ended up selling him down to the enemy, and he was down in Egypt, and we know that. He ended up down there, and he was away from his dad. He was away from all of his brothers. He was away from his family for all that time. But as long as he was away from them, he was still the son of Jacob. I mean, Jacob still loved him, and he still, even though that he thought he was dead, and his other brothers had taken and brought word that he was dead and gone, I believe that that his dad mourned for him. And so we begin to think about that just a little bit, start thinking about what are the benefits of being a child. What are the benefits of being a child of God? And we could list them tonight. We could go down, but really, as I thought about that, and I mentioned that the other day in the service about being adopted, as Apostle Paul told them, and what it was to be adopted in the Jewish tradition, what we understand it to be. And I really thought that one of the things that stuck with me is, once you're a child, you're always a child. And I'm glad of that. And I thought tonight that as I look in the natural side, no matter what I do in life, my mom and dad will always be my mom and dad. There's nothing we can do to change that. There's nothing, listen, on the natural side, there's nothing that could be done. I would imagine that there's things that through the adoption process over time, some people get new parents through that. But on the naturally speaking, though, once you're born into that family, you are born into that bloodline. That's where you are. And it doesn't matter what you change your name to. That's just what you are. And so we begin to think about what it is to be a child of God. We are born, the Bible says, into this. And I'm glad that we are born spiritually into this Christ. We know told Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you got to have a new birth. You got to take something takes place that makes you different from what you once were. And I'm glad when that takes place in life, that when you become a child of God, it doesn't matter where you go after that. Don't matter what you do after that. There's nothing that can separate you from being a child of God. Listen, I know there's a lot of theories and there's a lot of religion. There might be a lot of doctrine out there that tries to bring make that contrary. But I've read enough Bible, and I believe in my heart, and the Spirit has showed me enough that I have to believe that once you become a child of God, there's nothing that God's going to do. And listen, to separate you from His love, to write you off, and to put you as an outcast. Listen, and some of these things we need to be reminded of, because I believe as sure as we know that we are a child of God on the day that we are saved, listen, the devil will surely go with us in this life and tell us you didn't get it. You didn't get it. That's not who you are. You're making a mistake. God don't love you. But I want to remind you tonight that my Heavenly Father, no matter where I am and no matter where you are, if you're a child of God, God is always watching over you. Hey, listen, God has never left you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but I'll go with you even unto the end of the world. What that tells me is that even when death is coming in, listen, and about to separate us from this natural body, that I've got a Savior and I've got a Father that is able and capable, and listen, that'll be there even in that darkest time of our life, that He'll never, listen, never leave us and never separate from us, but He'll be right there by our side to walk us right through the valley of the shadow of death. Thank God. David said, I'll fear no evil. You want to know why? Because David knew no matter what happened to him, he would never be alone, that God would always be with him and he would always be his child. Listen, we ought to be reminded sometimes how good it is to be a child of God. Listen, because not only is there anything or nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God, but there's nothing in death that'll separate us from the love of God either. Listen, I'm so glad tonight we remind ourselves, and a scripture reminds us of the power and the love that Christ Jesus had for us, that even at Calvary and on the cross and everything that He went through in the grave and the resurrection, that He conquered all things so that He could be with us at all times. And listen, so that when we're born again, a child of God, listen, we begin to reap the benefits of God. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've got a home eternal in the heavens, and I know it's waiting over there. And I know there's not enough demons in hell that can remove my name off of the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not enough sin in this world that can remove the blood of Christ that's been applied to my heart. And listen, I know that I am sealed to the day of redemption. I know that my home is forever. And listen, in eternity in heaven. And I know that God's just simply waiting right now to redeem us all together on that great and final glorious morning. I know all of that. I believe all of that. But while I'm here, I'm reminded of the benefits that we have as a child of God. Because we are not forgotten, we're not forsaken, we're not cast out, we're not cast down, we are might be despised. Hey, listen, we might be in distress, might be times of distress, there might be times in life where we go through the hard times and the valleys, and the times where we feel like we're all alone. But I'm going to remind you by a few scriptures tonight that there are benefits to be had and reaped by being a child. And I'm going to remind you tonight, if we look to the scriptures, we'll realize that God has promised these not only to the men in the Bible, not only the women in the scriptures, but these promises are left to you and I the same as they are to these men in the Bible. We look to the scriptures and we can find that, and listen, we think about the benefits of being a child. We might be out of His presence. And listen, we might be out of the presence of God, but we're never forgotten. Absolutely never forgotten. I'm reminded in the scriptures, and I believe it's in the book of Genesis, also before the scriptures that we read, here where Abraham was given a promise. And listen, and I believe that he was given a promise and his seed. We know that his the promise received from Abraham, or to Abraham, given unto Abraham. We read in the scriptures real close, and you might have often wondered this, and I have too,
on occasion, but we know that when Abraham was up there keeping his flock and keeping the sheep, that he had a nephew that was there with him. And hey, listen, Lot was with him, and the shepherds were on the hillside. They were together, and there began to be some strife among the men and among those in the groups. And so Abraham said, we're just going to separate one from another. He said, you look at where you want to go, and you determine where you want to go. The Bible says that Lot looked down to the plains down there, and he saw that low land, that grassland, the good land that was down around Sodom. And he separated himself, and he took the good part, naturally speaking. And so Abraham went the other way. But we know that according to the Bible, that as Lot got down there, he absolutely not only got out of the presence of Abraham, but I believe he turned his heart towards the city of Lot, or towards the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he began to listen, see those things and partake and participate. And listen, he got away from the presence of God. He got away from the goodness of God. He got away from the promises. And listen, the blessings of God. He got at a place where I believe he couldn't even feel the presence of God. The Bible says that he vexed his soul. And listen, because of the place that he was in. But I'm also reminded that when a judgment time come, that God had not forgotten where Lot was. And listen, and when the angels come walking over the mountainside to see Abraham. And listen, and Abraham called him in. And he prepared them and made them a feast there and give them something to eat. As they were leaving the tent of Abraham. And listen, they turned back and they reminded him of what they were there for. And they said, we're going down to that place because a judgment has been reaped upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen, they said, we're going down there. And all of a sudden, Abraham remembered his nephew. And he said, well, would you just spare that place because I've got family down there. And listen, he said, and you can read the scripture. He went, I believe, from 100 or so all the way down to 50, down to 20, down to 10, down to 5. And God said, if I can find 5, I'll spare the whole place. But he couldn't find 5. But nonetheless, the angels went down to that place and they gave a warning to Lot about the destruction that was to come. Lot escaped that place with his daughters. And listen, his own wife turned her back. And she turned. And listen, his son-in-laws, they didn't have anything to do with him. And so he escaped out of that place by the hair of his head. And listen, as fire and brimstone began to destroy that place, I'm reminded that Lot was out of the presence, but he wasn't forgotten. Sometimes, and you might say, well, I'm not like Lot. I said all that to say this. Sometimes we can get in such a place in this life and in this world that we have a difficult time even feeling the presence of God. Listen, and you might say, well, that's not exactly true. All I can tell you is to read your Bible. Because Peter in one scripture, he told him that, listen, we can get in such a place where we have forgotten that we were once purged from our sins. He said, brethren, if you're in such a place that you have forgotten that you had once been purged, he said, I would tell you that you need to go back and remember just where it was that you got saved and make your calling and election sure. Listen, but nonetheless, if you don't add to your faith all those wonderful things that God can give unto you that reminds you that you are a child of God, you can find yourself in a dark place, forgetting that you were once purged, being like a blind man who can't see afar off. But I'm glad that you, even though you might find yourself in that situation, that God has never forgotten one of his children.
Sometimes we can get that way. I don't know what it takes for people to get that way. But I believe that they have to be in a dark place. And I believe that they're out of the presence of the Lord. Because God, if you're close to him, he won't let you feel that way. He'll just let you feel the love that Joseph felt when he was next to Dad. I just believe that. I mean, we feel God's presence just in reading the Word. We feel God's presence when we pray. I mean, we feel God's presence when we gather in his house. We feel God's presence when we're in his will. Lot got in a place where he was not in the will of the Lord. And I believe that's why he couldn't feel his presence. And instead, you know, we're not going to judge anybody, because I know individuals who I love and that I've heard them say that they love the Lord. I've been in services with them when they've prayed. I've been in services with them when they've sung. I've been in services with them when they shouted.
but it's been a long time.
So they're never forgotten.
And sometimes we might forget about each other, and we might forget about our loved ones who have long since kind of fell out by the wayside, but I'm glad that God never has, and God, I'm glad that God knows where they are. And all we can do is pray for them, and I believe we ought to. That's a benefit of being a child. It's because even though your siblings, your family, your loved ones, those around you, your friends could even forget, God never forgets. Just like a father never forgets a child. That's how God is. Though we're out of order, though we're out of line, we're always loved. I thought about the prodigal, how he went out, that son.
Yeah.
Went to his dad and wanted all of his inheritance. And he wanted his portion. And he went out from his dad's house. The Bible says he was wasted all of his living, all of the head, all of his inheritance, he wasted on riotous living. In other words, he was out of order. He was out of line. He was doing all those things that his dad told him not to do. He was doing all those things he should have never done. But whenever I read those scriptures, I find that when he began to make his way back, dad was waiting and saw him far off. So I have to believe that his dad would go out every day and just look down that road. Just wait on him to come back. And he left him because when he saw him, he killed the fatted calf. He went and got everything he could. He bestowed it upon his child, his son. And he said he was out there in the world, but he's returned. He was loved. And I'm glad that, listen, part of the benefits of being a child of God, we might get out of order because we do things in the flesh. We might get out of line at times, but I'm glad that when we come back, the Lord's always there waiting, and he's always there to wrap his arms around us, and he's always there to love us. I mean, instead of scolding us, instead of rebuking us, instead of telling us you're not part of the family, instead of writing us off and getting mad, listen, I'm always amazed that father, he just held his son. His other son got upset, and he said, "Hey, why are you upset? You've been here the whole time. Everything here is yours." He said, "But this is your brother. This is my child. This is my son." And he was lost, but now he's found. He's here. He's home again. And so we might get out of order and we might get out of line, but part of being one of the benefits of being a child of God is that we're always loved. And God always sheds his love upon us. I thought about the other thing tonight about how God, as part of being a child of God, is he always protects us. And he always defends us. You can read in the Bible where the Lord told him so many times in the old scripture. He said, "If you just follow me," he said, "just do what I've told you to do." He said, "I will be your God and you will be my children." He said, "That you serve me." He said, "Every time the adversary comes," he said, "I'm going to fight your battles for you." In other words, I'm going to stand in front, and no matter how big they are, and we got chapter after chapter and book after book, Brother Chester, where the adversary and the enemy, and hey, listen, whether they be natural side, but even Apostle Paul, he said, "We don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight and we war against principalities and powerful, principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places." But I'm glad in all of the things we fight that our God is willing to stand in front of us and protect us and shield us. And no matter what our adversary does, no matter how big they are, God has always gone out in front of his own children. And listen, and he's put a shield around us. I'm reminded in the book of Job where God planted a hedge around Job. And listen, and Satan, when he come to him, and God said, "Have you considered," what did he say? He said, "Have you considered my servant, Job?" In other words, "Have you considered my child?" And listen, Satan said, "I can't get to him because you've got a hedge all the way around him." Thank God, he still has a hedge around his church. He's got a hedge around his children. And it doesn't matter how big the adversary is, and it doesn't matter how much they desire to destroy us or even sift us, as Christ told Peter, "I'm glad that the Lord Jesus has prayed for us." And listen, if you ever doubt that, read that chapter in the book of John where Christ poured out his heart for those that are born again. And listen, Christ prayed for us. God put a hedge around around us, and no matter where we are in this life, no matter what we're fighting against, no matter who we're against, hey, listen, no matter how big the adversary is, God is out in front of us, protecting us everywhere that we turn. Satan said, I can't get to him. Thank God. That's not even what I wrote down for this portion of scripture. I actually wrote down this about those little Hebrew boys as they were down in the enemy's camp. But they were serving God.
Yeah.
And the king had them in bondage. He had them servants. Actually, they were like part of the court. And all of a sudden, when word came that because they wouldn't bow down, when all that music played and served that image and that idol, and then all of a sudden they said, we're going to have to destroy, they were ready to pass judgment. But the Hebrews looked at the king and they said, we know that our God is able to deliver us. And they said, and we know that he will deliver us from you. They knew who was going to fight for them. They knew who their father was. They knew they were children of the living God. And they didn't matter. It didn't matter to them if they were going to die that day. They knew that God could rescue them from the fire if it was his will. But they also knew that no matter what happened, God was going to rescue them from the king. He was going to rescue them from their adversary. He was going to rescue them from their enemy. The benefit of being a child is that you're always defended and protected. And I thought about that. You think about it on a natural side. I mean, who among us today that has children? I mean, you love your children, and when they're wrong, you'll correct your children. But have mercy on somebody that tries to correct your child or tries to bring harm to your child, because you'll stand for them. And that's just natural. I mean, that's on the natural side. So if that's on the natural side, how much more do you think our God will stand up for us when the adversary, the enemy, tries to harm one of his children? I'm glad tonight, the last thing I thought I wrote down real quick as they were singing the song, benefit of being a child of God, is we forever have a home. I got one daughter out of the house. My son's in school and college, and you know, things go as, you know, planned, I would imagine, probably 4 or 5 years, I don't know. Sooner, maybe later, I don't know. But at some point, he's going to be out of the house too. But I think about that. And even though my children are out of my house, they'll always have a home to come back to. No matter where they are, no matter what happens in life, wherever I am, wherever my wife is, my kids will have a home to come back to. Because I love them. Being a child of God, I've always got a place to go.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. Might get out somewhere. Might be out doing your own thing sometimes. Just want to go back home. Just want to get close.
Yeah.
God says you've got a place.
Amen.
He's always there.
Amen.
I've always got a home. I'm thankful for that. We got a home. I've got a home going. I'm going home to. I mean, I've got a place I'm going to. But I'm glad before I ever get there, I've got a place here that he's put me in. What a benefit of being a child of God. It's so good to be a child of God. Sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we look past it and we just take it for granted. We think we've got a church down there, and sometimes we think, well, I know where the church is. I'll get there when I get there. I'll go back when I feel like it. Sometimes we get in that mode and we get in that mindset. But I'm going to tell you, there's some real benefits to being a child of God. And there's some benefits to being what God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. I'm glad he'll always love you. He'll always protect you. He'll always have a place for you. He'll always watch over you. And as good as all those things are, how much better is it to be right in his care all the time? I mean, how much better is it that you can just feel his love surround you to be in his presence?
Amen.
I mean, you know, and I'm not trying to preach that we ought to get out and get in and get out and get in and do get out of order just to come back and make it all better again. I mean, all that is
a benefit of being, I preach, that's a benefit of being a child. But hey, the greatest benefit of all is knowing that you've got a place right at his table all the time.
Amen.
How good did Mephibosheth have it when he come out of Lodabar and he sat at the king's table every day? He always had food. He always had plenty to eat. He had a place to stay. He had a bed to lay in. He had all the blessings of the king right there.
Amen.
And as good as he had it, how much better do we have it that we're at God's table getting all the blessings? The Bible tells us he loadeth us daily with his benefits.
Amen.
You can't get loaded daily with the benefits of God unless you're right where you need to be to receive them. So we love you tonight. We're going to ask Brother James to come. Good to be in God's house tonight.
Amen.
Let's stand at our feet tonight while he sings. Just sing a verse of a song, Brother James. If anyone needs to come and pray, we encourage you to do that. Oh, it's so good to be a child of God tonight. I mean, there's nothing in this world that compares to feeling the Spirit. Just feeling the Holy Ghost move. I mean, there's nothing. Nothing compares to it.
Child. Someone have a testimony, anything on your heart? We're going to make a few.